We find ourselves 2 weeks, precisely 2 weeks, from the Yom HaDin. We are at the midpoint in the month of Elul, and I feel incredibly fortunate and unfit to have an opportunity to reflect together with you at such a sacred time. The month of Elul, of course, is a month of preparation. And if in fact this is the midpoint, so then it goes without saying that we should be around midway through our preparation for Rosh Hashanah. But if you're like me, then you may feel like you're behind. Even if you are not procrastinating, you may feel that you need more than 2 weeks in order to adequately prepare yourself for that which is about to happen, for that which we are all soon to experience. I am fortunate, as some of you may know, to be involved in a shul, a wonderful shul, some wonderful balabatim, some of whom are here right now. A shul which I would characterize as a shul of many B'nai Aliyah, people who are interested in growth and people who are looking to improve. And yet, I have found, and this is not a criticism of my shul per se, something that I think is very significant. And that is that there are probably two seasons during the year which we are all, and by extension our rabbis, tend to be most busy. And those are the seasons which are centered around the month of Nisan and Tishrei. Of course, Nisan, the month of Pesach, is a month which requires intense preparation. Sholin v'dorshin v'hilchos hachag shloshim yom. Kodem hachag is not just a halacha, which it is, but it's a description of a reality. Already a month beforehand, rabbis are preparing the booklets, answering shaylas, helping people kasher their kitchens, and many, many questions people have. And even if at this point in my career, I can probably answer most and predict many of the questions without much effort or preparation on my part, just answering the questions alone is something which is very time consuming. Again, we've been doing this every year for the last 20 years. How do you kasher a rabbi? How do you kasher a microwave? Is quinoa kidneyos? You know, what time is chatzos this year? What does a kezayis matzah look like? Is Colgate's children extra berry toothpaste kosher this year? And you just answer questions and questions and questions because people, of course, are concerned. And they want to be able to have just not a chag sameach, but a chag kosher v'sameach. And you would expect that as we get closer to the Aser Simeach Tshuva, you would expect that my phone and the phones of my colleagues would be ringing off the hook. You would expect that people would be asking questions and more questions because there are no special books that are put out by Star K, by the OU, by Rabbi Blumenkrantz, Zuchrono Livracha. You don't find manuals that rabbis are producing which go through all of the many, many important halachos that people need to know as they prepare for the Aseres Meshuv. It's surprising to me, but I haven't yet this year been asked by anybody the following question. Rabbi, I owe somebody money. I intend to pay him back. I really do. I have a plan. But I haven't paid him yet. It's been a while. And getting closer to the Yom HaDin. What are my obligations? What are my options? Rabbi, I hurt somebody. Terribly. I hurt his feelings. I feel terrible. And he's no longer alive. I know, I'm familiar, I've heard, I've seen, I know the din of Shulchan Aruch, go to the kever, what does that look like? Do people actually do that? Have you ever seen anyone do that? Do I have to go by myself? Do I have to bring people with me? How many? What if I don't want to bring people with me? Can I say vidui if I'm really not prepared yet to give up this particular chait? I want to, but I can't. Or I'm prepared to give it up, but I'm not feeling charata. Or I feel charata, but I can't give it up. There is a certain chait that I committed years ago, and I feel terrible about it. And each and every year, I think about it again and again, and it causes me tremendous pain. Do I have to keep coming back to it every year? Or the famous Shaila, what if asking somebody for forgiveness is going to cause them more pain and upset them more than if I don't ask them for forgiveness? And I can go on and on, but these are sample questions that I have not received yet this year. And I wonder why. I wonder why it is that when we prepare for Pesach, for example, there's an avalanche of questions and answers and involvement and preoccupation and preparation, immersion. And even for those who are going away, even for those who have a planned trip to a hotel, they're also on some of them. They're asking questions about bedika. When do I have to do bedika? I make a bracha. What if somebody else is staying in my house? Do I do bedika in the hotel? Do I not do bedika? Questions and questions and questions. And as we get closer to the month of Tishrei, a month which undoubtedly is characterized not only by its own plethora of mitzvos, but that which is arguably the most difficult, the most challenging, and perhaps the most consequential mitzvah of the year, the mitzvah of tshuva. So the answer to this question, I suppose, is obvious, but I think it's still important to ask. You know, Pesach is much more standard. It's one size fits all. It's complex, it's tedious. For some people, it's even backbreaking. But it doesn't require me to strip away the layers of my heart and to bear all in a way that hurts. And with tshuva, that's not the case. When it comes to tshuva, we have to confront issues that are much more intimate and personal, and it's painful. It's difficult, frankly, to confront ourselves, let alone to ask shailas when we have them. It can be embarrassing. There's nothing embarrassing about asking what time Chatzos is. But some of the questions that I just mentioned and the many, many others can be very embarrassing and difficult and painful to ask. If you will indulge me for a moment, I'd like to share with you, and I cannot imagine that there's anyone in this room who has not heard this Rambam many times, but I want to review with you a very familiar Rambam, arguably the most famous Rambam in all Hilchos Teshuva, and maybe one of the most famous statements of the Rambam in the entire Mishnah Torah. The Rambam, of course, that I refer to is the fourth halacha in the third perek of Hilchos Teshuva, where the Rambam says, "Afal pishat ki ha-shofar Rosh Hashanah gezeiras ha-kosov." Even though it's true, says the Rambam, we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah because the Torah says so. It's a gezeiras ha-kosov. Nevertheless, says the Rambam, and as you know, this is uncharacteristic, the Rambam tells us, remez yeshbo. Don't stop there. It's true it's a gezeiras ha-kosov, but there's more to the mitzvah. There's a remez. Klomar, says the Rambam, the shofar is saying, uru yeshein mishinascha. Wake up! V'nirdamim hikitsu mitidamaschem. And those who are in a deep slumber, arise! Arouse yourselves! Chapsu b'maseichem, search your ways, v'chizru b'tshuva, repent, v'zichru barachem, remember your Creator, elu ha-shochichem es-emes, v'hav li-yazman, v'shogim kol shnasam behevel v'rik, asher lo yoyil v'lo yatil, says the Rambam, those who waste their days and their years on this earth, involved in shtuyot, and those who all throughout the year are just lost, hibitu l'nafshaseichem, v'abitu darcheichem amaleichem, says the Rambam, look, go through your ways, examine the path that you're on, and it's not too late. V'yazov kol echad mikem darko hara machshavoto asher lo tova. Improve, change, grow, do tshuva. Now, as I mentioned, this is a famous statement in the Rambam, but more often than not, at least in my experience, when you hear the Rambam quoted, or you see it quoted, this is where people say, ad kan lashon Rambam. Okay. But the truth of the matter is the Rambam continues. Not in the next halacha, in the very same halacha. It's a relatively long halacha in the Rambam. And this is usually where people stop. Continues the Rambam, lefichach, therefore, After all I've just said about the remez of the shofar, says the Rambam, lefichach, tzorach kol adam shiir atzmo kol hashana kula ki'ilu chetzu zakeh v'chetzu chayv. Says the Rambam, a person has to imagine as if the entire year he is mamish a beinoni behechleit. He is literally in the balance. 50% of him is chayav, 50% is zakai, v'chein kol olam chetzu zakeh v'chetzu chayv, and so too the entire world. Says the Rambam, if I move one inch in the wrong direction, I not only seal my own fate, but I bring the entire world down with me. Also, mitzvah achas, and if I move in the other direction, I do just one mitzvah, I could save the whole world. Now, both of these are important, undoubtedly inspiring points. But my question for you this evening is, what does lefichach mean? Why lefichach? The Rambam starts off by telling us that the shofar has an intended message. Yes, it's gzeiras hakasav, but the message is wake up. And then says the Rambam, lefichach, therefore, you have to imagine as if the whole world is on your shoulders. And whatever I do next is going to make a difference for all 7 billion people on earth. Why the lefichach? So, I perhaps suggest the following, by way of, it's not an analogy per se, but this is the way I relate to it. I happen to be, as some of you may know if you observe me at certain times, I happen to be a pretty heavy sleeper. I can sleep pretty much through anything. My kids can tell you, my wife can tell you. We live maybe 100 yards from train tracks. People say it wakes them up. I've never heard it. I've lived in the house 15 years. I have yet to hear a train in the middle of the night. It's a busy street. I don't hear it. Sometimes, especially now, my kids are older. They go to sleep later than me. Noises, music, people coming and going, dropping things on the floor. Doesn't make a difference whether I'm sleeping at night or in the afternoon or in the morning. Nothing wakes me up. And yeah, it causes a little bit of frustration to people who try to wake me up. But there is one thing that actually does wake me up, and that is my alarm. My alarm, the one that I set. And how do I know? Because I know what it sounds like. I've set it beforehand, and maybe this is unique to me, but I imagine other people could do it as well. Even when we are asleep, our brains have a way of hearing selectively. And it's remarkable that I could sleep through virtually anything, but, and it doesn't always work, I sometimes sleep through my own alarm, but my alarm wakes me up, because it's my alarm. And I believe that the Rambam is trying to convey the following idea. The shofar has a very profound message. As the Rambam told us already, there's a very, very important, there's a very deliberate remez in the shofar. Urul Yishein Mishenaschem. Wake up. However, says the Rambam, you must realize that that is not magic. The shofar does not immediately, instantaneously, necessarily, automatically, without any preparation, just wake one up. It doesn't work that way. Rather, says the Rambam, lefichach, a person has to engage in a process, and says the Rambam, not during the month of Elul, you know, in this halach, he goes on to highlight the opportunities of the month of Elul. Says the Rambam, kol hashana kula, the entire year I have to view every moment of my life as if it is incredibly consequential. The choices that I make really matter. And if that's the way I view my life, so then, says the Rambam, then the shofar maybe will speak to me. You see, generally we think that the shofar is intended to inspire us. And I believe what the Rambam is trying to get us to appreciate is that we must inspire ourselves so that we can hear the shofar. If we just show up and expect the shofar to magically move us and transform us, undoubtedly it will do something. The shofar resonates with each and every one of us, and sometimes in very unexpected, personal, intimate ways. There are people who just cry when they hear the sound of the shofar. And I imagine, included in that group are people who spend very little time involved in cheshbon and nefesh during the month of El. But if we really want the shofar to call to us, to chapsu b'maseichem, v'chizu b'tshuva, v'zarachu b'arachem, So says the Rambam, Lefichach, therefore we have to do something about it. Therefore we have to prepare ourselves so that the shofar can in fact deliver that message. Otherwise it's like listening to somebody else's alarm. It means nothing to me. As Chazal tell us, Milsa de la Rame Alei de Inish Lavadaite. If there's something that I am not listening out for, I am not particularly attentive to this message or this sound, it's not going to penetrate. It's not really going to make a difference. So we have to be open. This is a time of the year that we really have to be open. We have to be open to change. We have to be open to Musar. We have to be open to hearing and to recognizing and to realizing that what I do really matters. There's a beautiful story in the Sefer Tuvchei Abihu, Rav Zilberstein, where he brings down such a beautiful story of Rav Ari Levin, Zichrono Livracha, who was once giving a Musar Shmuz or a Shir or something in the shul. I have in front of me, I'm not going to open it up right now, but a shul in Yerushalayim, and he was talking about the Sugi of Shalom Bayis. It sounds like it was more of a Musar Shmuz, maybe some practical tips. And the great tzaddik was talking about common areas in which people are nichshol in the area of shalom bayis. Things that husbands say that they shouldn't say, things that wives do that they shouldn't do. And he was trying to give musar to the tzibur. Among the people assembled in this shul this year at the time was the great Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer, Zichrono Livracha. And the way the story goes, it's recorded over here, after the Shira, Rav Zalman came over to Rav Levin and he said to him, I have tainas on you. He says, well, what was wrong? He says, really not right what you did. He said, what did I do? He said, why did you embarrass me that way in front of everyone? He said, what do you mean? He says, why were you talking about me in front of all these people? If you want to give me some booster, so come to me. Why are you? So, the way the story is recorded over here, it wasn't a charade. It wasn't. He honestly thought that the entire shmooze was for him. Zilberstein goes on to say that people who knew and interacted with Meltzer and his wife knows that they had a reputation of being the most wonderful, happy, shalom bayisdik, a couple you could find in the world. No one ever heard or saw or heard of anyone saying, it was a house that was completely imbued with shalom. But yet, his heart was open to Musar. You have something to say? Say it. Let me hear. And it speaks to me. In this week's parasha, Parashas Kisavo, the Torah tells us, Vayedaber Moshe v'Kohanim al Leviyim al Kol Yisrael Lemor, Haskeis Ushma Yisrael Hayom Hazeh Niyeis Ala'om. Haskeis Ushma. That word Haskeis, I've read, assume it's true for the moment, is found only once in Tanakh. Here. It's not a word that you will see elsewhere. So of course it's a challenging word to define by definition. What does it mean? We have no other context. What does this word mean? Pay attention, be silent, contemplate. Rabbi Simon quotes a beautiful pshat from the Shem Shmuel, and with this I'll end. Shem Shmuel quotes the Sforno, who says, you know what it means, Haskeis? Sayar b'machshavascha. Make a picture, an image in your mind. And goes on, the Shem Shmuel writes, he says, Limun gadol l'chol haboli toher. This is an incredible message for anybody who's trying to make an effort to step forward, to purify himself. Sheterem yikrav l'chol davar l'asot. So before a person brings himself close to something to do, hein b'torah b'tfilah, v'chein afilu b'dvar reshus, whether it's in spiritual matters or even in more discretionary matters in life, lo yaniva lasoso terem yitzayer ba'atzmo heitev davar ahu v'tzuras v'tolas. A person should not attempt to embark on that goal before first stopping and contemplating what is this going to look like? What is the path forward? I was just giving a shiur in Tina. Usually I go to 9:30. I ended a few minutes earlier tonight so I could be here on time. And I know the route. I know how to get here. I come here every day. But I put on the GPS because there are still options. And I didn't have much time. The difference between 5-10 minutes, I can't imagine, would have kept you waiting. Oy. So, okay, Baruch Hashem, there was no traffic. It didn't make a difference. Upper level, lower level, there was no nafkamina tonight. But The GPS, in my opinion, provides us with many important metaphors for life. I often focus on different ones, but this is an important one that's often overlooked because the processing speed is so quick that we don't realize it as it's happening. You can go ahead and program your GPS to take you to California, and it'll spit out directions in seconds. But those few seconds are very important. Just, again, conceptually, what's happening over here. The GPS is, lahavdil, engaging in haskes. It is stopping, as Asfarno says, and calculating, trying to understand what is this going to look like. Shem Shmuel goes on to say, chasid, this is what it means when the Gemara tells us, chasidim arishonim ayishon sha'achas mispalin. The earlier chasidim would sit an entire sha'ah, whatever that is, before davening, the Brisa says after davening as well. What were they doing? Says the Shem Shmuel, even if they were coming to learn Musar, yitzayu ba'atzma mikodem mahu balosos. Just thinking about what is going to be, what is this going to look like? What do I need to do to get myself to the next level? The Nirani concludes the Zoe Achanas Elo Kodem Rosh Hashanah. This is the whole goal, the whole objective of Elo. Livli karev lavodus achodesh ashvi el bachana v'tziur mikodem b'machshav tol lefnei mihu omeid v'ovei v'adosar shebalev t'kiya shofar v'yaser mitzvah shebachodesh tishrei. The purpose of the month of Elul is just like the entire month before Pesach. So we could sit there and prepare and go through the details and go through the lists. Is this kosher? Is this not kosher? Is this going to make the cut? Is this not? Can I keep this or do I have to get rid of this? It's the same regimen. It's the same process. Although one is obviously much easier, and that's why everyone does it. And one is obviously much more difficult. And so here we are, 2 weeks before the Yom HaDin, halfway through the month of Elul. Again, I just have to imagine the fact that you're here means that you see yourself, as I do, as being behind, not ahead of the game. So wherever you are in the process, whether you're waking up today, whether you woke up 2 weeks ago, or maybe you never slept, maybe this entire year has been a year of growth. Wherever you are, we have the opportunity for the next 2 weeks of Haskes, of trying to map out, to carve in our minds a picture of what it's going to look like. How am I going to get there? What route am I going to take? In order that I should be able to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Yom HaDin, a new person, not a perfect person, halavai, but on all likelihood, not somebody who's completely different in every way, not somebody who nobody, my friends, my family, not going to recognize, setting realistic goals, being realistic with myself, where I am, my surroundings, my abilities, but setting up a plan for growth, a plan for forward movement, the process. And Be'ezras Hashem, if we do so, if we realize, as the Rambam says, the consequence of what we do at this time, Chato Chet Achas Hechriya Eskol La'olam La'hashchasa, says the Rambam. One step in the wrong direction will have such a devastating consequence, not only for me and my friends and my family, but the entire world. Ba'asa Mitzvah Achas. But I should feel the weight of the world. If I could only move myself in that direction, so that can change everything. Not only for myself, but for so many others. We should be zocher be'ezras Hashem to be inspired to hear the sound of the shofar, even in these weeks prior to the sound of the shofar. We should all be zocher to Shnas Bracha v'Shalom, a year of growth, a year of fulfillment in Ruchnius and Gashmius. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless each and every one of us, with Hatzlach in the days ahead. May we all be zocher to a Ksivach Tzimetova. Thank you.